Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
Well, perhaps it was the most difficult and most sensitive moment that I've been invited to during my time as a pastor. There was this time where a lady, let's call her Katie, was asking to meet with me. And she asked me to meet with me, and I said, of course, we can do so. And Katie arrived at my office for this meeting, and she was seemingly pregnant, but don't worry, I didn't ask. And she sat down, and we began to talk. And Katie had a sense of humor, so she cracked a joke and said, well, as you might guess, I'm pregnant. And she said, but I'm not as far along as you might think. You see, the child I have, our son here, is not doing well, and I'm carrying some extra fluid. And we're pretty sure that once he is born, he's going to pass away. And so I was coming to you today because I wanted to know if you would help us at this time and if you would be willing to do his funeral when the time were to come. She had one very healthy, vibrant child. She explained to me in that moment that they had lost another child, and what she knew was they didn't want to go through that again. And so they had joined the church, and they had reached out to me and had this conversation. And of course, in that moment, I said to her, Katie, I'd be honored to be with your family in this time. And she said, I thought you'd say that, but I didn't know if perhaps you might have other concerns because I know you just became a father and that might be difficult for you. And I said to her, actually, Katie, it's because I'm a father, I have to say yes, and I want to say yes to be there for you. And so we ended that meeting with a prayer, and we knew that there would be much more ahead of us. Well, the time would come that Noah would be born, and I would get the call from Katie, and she invited me to come to the hospital. This was all while I was an associate pastor in Bloomington, Illinois, so I made the journey over to Peoria, where the neonatal intensive care unit was. And at the family's invitation, we had an emergency baptism for Noah. We baptized Noah and celebrated his life. And then what they thought would come indeed came. Noah passed away. And then a short time later, we had a celebration of life, a funeral for Noah. And I can tell you, there is nothing more piercing and nothing more difficult to hear than the cries of a mother grieving the loss of her child. And there's no greater feat of strength, perhaps, that I've ever seen than watching a father carry his infant child who's passed in an infant-sized casket in and out of a church sanctuary. And I have to say that in that moment, it was one of the best things that we could ever do was to be there for this family at this time. And it was truly an honor to walk in this holy moment with them. They didn't want to go it alone, and no one should go it alone when they're grieving the loss of a loved one, but especially a child. Now, as amazing as what the church was able to do for this family, and amazing as what we can do for each other, it's also absolutely amazing what God has done for us and continues to do for us when we face these challenges of the loss of a loved one. Because what God has done for us is God has given to us the hope and the promise of life to come. God has given to us the hope and the promise that this life is not the only life, that there's an eternal life that God gives to us. And God gives us this hope and this promise that life goes on and that death does not have the final say. And what God had done and is doing for Katie and her family, and what God has done and is doing for all of us, is to give us this hope and this promise, and give it to us when we need it most, when we're grieving the loss of a loved one. Now, when we're grieving the loss of loved ones, and this happens to us all the time, we need to be and are reminded of this great hope and this great promise that God gives to us. And it's so important that we're reminded of this when we have the opportunity, because we may be prone to forget these things, even in the moments when we need it most. Because when we're in moments of crisis, when we're in moments of struggle, the things that we go back to are the things that we lean on the most. And when we lean on the hopes and the promises of God, we can lean into what will support us and what we need in these moments. We can trust in the hope and the promise, but we do need to be reminded of these things because we are prone to forget them. Now, this struggle that we have when we face moments of crisis and loss, when we face these struggles, that we're prone to forget the promises that God makes for us, is the same challenge and the same issue that people have been facing for a very long time. Because it's normal and it's human to forget these things when we're facing a crisis. And so these are the same issues and the same concerns that Paul had for some of his friends when he was doing his work back in the first century. And in particular, Paul had a group of friends in this ancient city of Greece called Thessalonica, and he had this concern for them as well, that they were forgetting what they knew when they needed it most, that they were forgetting what God had done for them when they were facing the struggles of loss of loved ones. And Paul knew that they needed a reminder, just like we do, of what God has done for us. And so in this letter that he wrote to his friends, you know, because these are real people in real places with real problems in many of these letters that we find in our scriptures, what Paul writes to them is, "Dear brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed about those who have come before you, so that you might not grieve as people who have no hope." What Paul was worried about is it seemed to them that they were grieving as people who had no hope, but he knew, and they did too, but needed to be reminded that they had great hope in Jesus because of what God had done through Jesus. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, how can you forget? I mean, isn't it pretty simple? You know, you pass away and you go to Jesus and he welcomes you and then you live happily ever after with Jesus until people come to join you, right? But the fact of the matter is, they were facing some struggles. They were facing some crises that pushed these things perhaps out of their focus and out of their mind. I mean, the struggles and the crises that they were facing were super real and very present to them. In that time, they were facing some real struggles because they were facing persecution. They were being persecuted by the Romans for their Christian faith. At the time when Paul was writing this particular letter, it was right at the time when Emperor Nero was formally accusing Christians of being the reason that the empire was struggling. And so they were facing some actual persecution that was putting them in a place where they weren't remembering all the things that God had done for them. Now, not only were they facing that challenge, but they were facing the challenge of so many different competitive teachings in their lives as well. Now remember, they were in the ancient world of Greece, and so what they would have had is they would have had the Greek stories and the Greek gods percolating in their mind about all these things. Then the Romans came and gave them the Roman gods and the Roman stories. And then, of course, these people, the earliest followers of Jesus, they were pretty much Jewish, and so then they would have had the Jewish teachings in particular working in their hearts and minds as well. And one of those teachings came from the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were some of those opponents that Jesus would often debate with. And in particular, the Sadducees were the group of people that didn't believe in an eternal life. They thought that this life was it. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to remember all that? Maybe you'll remember, and I've said this one before, it's very sad, you see, that the Sadducees didn't believe in eternal life. So all of these things, the Romans, the Greeks, and the Jews, these teachings were percolating in their minds, so you can imagine why they needed to be reminded of what was always true and what had become true about what God had done. And that is through Jesus, God had defeated the power of sin and death. And because God had raised Jesus from the dead, there was hope of resurrection and there was hope of eternal life. Because what they had seen is that God had defeated the power of death, and God had then made promises to us that we knew could be trusted because of what God had continued to do. And so the people then of Thessalonica needed a reminder of all the great things that God had done for them through Jesus so that they could have confidence in the hopes and the promises that God made for them. But you know what's amazing? Is what was true for them is still true for us today. That we can have great confidence in what God has done through Jesus so that we can trust in God's promises and the hope we have. Because God raised Jesus from the dead and defeated the power of death, we know that death does not have the final say anymore. And because of that, we can trust that God is going to give to us this beautiful eternal life that God has promised for us. We also know that because God has defeated death through Jesus' resurrection, we can have confidence that there is indeed a life to come that our loved ones are experiencing at this time. Those who have gone before us are with Jesus because God has welcomed them into this resurrection life. One of the things that Jesus teaches is that he said he was going to go and prepare a place for us. And we can believe that God has done that through Jesus. We might not know when or where or how this all works, but we can trust that God has love for us that makes that true. And the other thing that we can cling to in these moments and we need to be reminded about of God's hopes and promises is that there is a promise that one day God is going to make all things new. God is going to make all things right. And so what that means for us is we can cling to the hope and the promise that even if we don't understand why things are happening or how things are happening or how could God let things happen as they are, we can know that one day God is going to redeem all things when God brings about the final coming. Now that sounds like another one of those things where we're like, well, how does that work or when's that going to happen? And Jesus reminds us that we don't know when and we don't know how. But what we can do is rest in the confidence and the hope of the promises that God gives to us. We can lean into these things. We can trust in the hopes and the promises because we know we are loved by a God who is trustworthy. We've seen God be faithful to the promises that God has made to us in the past. And we can know because of that, that God is faithful to the promises God continues to make to us about the future. And because of that, we have the hope we need to face our losses, to grieve the loss of our loved ones, whether it's been recently or in the past. It also helps us get ready for the time to come when Jesus is going to take others when their time is over. Because of all this, we know that we are loved by a God who gives us hopes and promises that we can trust in. God gives us hopes and promises that show us that we have a gift of eternal life from God and one that we can be waiting for when our time comes and one we can celebrate for how God has given it to those who have gone before us. These are the hopes and the promises that God gave to Katie and her family. These are the hopes and the promises that God gives to you and to your family. So let us cling to these hopes and promises when we need them most. Let's cling to these hopes and promises both on this day and in all the days to come.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.